Guest speaker, Brother Rainey Webb.
This evening, I'd like for us to think about a particular question. It's a question a lot of people ask, and it's a question that, quite frankly, a lot of people fail to find the answer to. But it's one that, when we study this evening, we'll be able to find a good answer to. And that is, what is the meaning of life? Again, this is a question that we see people all throughout the world asking, or looking to find an answer to that question. We see a lot of people trying to find that meaning to life, or something to give their life meaning or happiness throughout their life. And we see people looking in all sorts of different areas trying to find that sort of happiness. We know some people that bury themselves in their work. Whatever it is that they do for a living, they dedicate their lives fully to it in order to find happiness in their work. For some people, it's in wealth. It's in gaining riches. Maybe they do spend a lot of time in their work, not necessarily because of the job itself, but because of the money that it brings in or whatever, and they look to try and find happiness through those things. And unfortunately, a lot of times, these individuals, they fail to find any sort of true happiness or something to give their life meaning when they look at those things. And we also know of some individuals who just already draw the conclusion that there is no meaning to life, and so they just go about living their life however they want and don't really think about finding any sort of meaning or anything of that nature. And certainly we know those individuals, there certainly is a lack of happiness there if you draw that sort of conclusion that life has no meaning. Certainly we know that there has to be some sort of meaning to this life that we have. The question is, what is that meaning of life? And so that's the question that we want to answer. It's that same question that so many people who are seeking and trying to find that the answer to that question, we want to be able to answer that question this evening of what is the meaning of this life that we have. And what's interesting is when we look throughout the Old Testament, there's a particular individual that we see struggling with that very same question of what is the meaning of life. And this man is Solomon. And so we want to look at Solomon and his search for that meaning of life, because certainly it's through that search we're able to figure out where our life gains meaning or happiness in this life that we've been blessed with. So first of all, let's consider who Solomon is. If you'd like to open up your Bibles up to 1 Kings chapter 3, that's where we first really notice the kind of person that Solomon is. And we see that he's an individual who desires wisdom. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" So here we read this out, and we see Solomon, who is striving to serve God and looking to live a righteous life in serving God, offering burnt offerings and sacrifices to Him, he has this moment where God speaks to him and basically says, Solomon, you can ask for whatever you want. Name it and I will give it to you. And now let's just picture if we were in that same position as Solomon's, you know, where we would be granted any one thing that we asked for. We knew that if we asked for it, it was going to happen. And let's think, what is it that we might ask for? You know, some of us, we might think about, again, the wealth, the riches. We might think about having access to whatever it is that we wanted. Who knows what it is that we might come up with to ask for that one thing. And it's incredible to see Solomon, when presented with that question, the one thing that he desired most of all was a discerning heart. In other words, wisdom. He wanted the wisdom to be able to faithfully serve as king of Israel. And again, certainly that's a very powerful wish and a very useful wish. You know, he's not looking for something just for himself, but he's looking for something that he can use to serve as king and know that with that wisdom, he can serve faithfully as king. So certainly a very powerful and a very useful wish that Solomon asked for. And we go on to see further on, because of this request, that God not only gives him this very wisdom that he asks for, but he also makes sure Solomon has everything else that he could possibly think of as well. You know, all the wealth, the riches, anything that he could possibly want, he had. Certainly we understand that Solomon is probably one of the most wealthy individuals to ever exist, if not the wealthiest. I mean, the things that he had was truly of just impossible to truly fathom. You know, trying to think of the words to describe what he had, and it's just hard to do because of how great of the things that he had. And so we see that Solomon truly was blessed with so many things as king, the wisdom and all the riches that he could possibly think of. And certainly while this wisdom that Solomon received was great, it led him to do many great things serving as king of Israel. One thing we also need to see is that through this wisdom, there were also some difficulties that came with that and some struggles that came with this great wisdom that he attained. One of the struggles that Solomon obtained now with this wisdom is over time and throughout his life, he began to search for something in this life to make life meaningful. And what's interesting, and we'll see that as we get to the conclusion, but it's interesting to think of Solomon thinking about that and searching for what gives life meaning. And as we'll see, that which gives his life meaning was right there to begin with, even before he gathered all of that wisdom and riches. But anyway, with that wisdom, Solomon wants to know, what is it that gives his life meaning? Well, we see him asking that question if you flip to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we see the writings of an aged Solomon. An aged Solomon who's looking back on his life and looking at the decisions that he's made, the things that he's done, and ultimately the conclusion that he gathered throughout the life that he lived. And it's interesting, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" And a way to kind of translate that question that Solomon asks right there in verse 3 basically is Solomon was asking, what is the meaning of life? What gives my life meaning? You know, what purpose is there? What gain is there from the things that I do on this life? Now, that's the ultimate question that he's seeking an answer to, is what gives my life meaning? And when we look at Solomon's search, we're able to discover what it is that gives our life meaning as well. And so with that in mind, let's consider a few things that Solomon looked to in order to try and find something that would give his life purpose. First thing we see Solomon looking at is the pleasures of this world. He looks to find meaning in life through the things of this life, anything that could bring his life joy or pleasure. you know, all of the physical things of this world. That's one of the first things we see Solomon looking to find that purpose in his life. And again, we understand that Solomon was a very wealthy man and had access to all that pleasure. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 1, him seeking meaning for his life in that pleasure. It says, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great, I built myself houses, and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the special treasures of kings, and of the provinces I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." So we read in these 11 verses Solomon's search for that meaning of life, or that joy in life, and looking at it from the standpoint of using the pleasures of this life. And certainly we understand when we look at Solomon's life, as we've already somewhat touched on, anything that Solomon wanted, he had access to. Again, no one matched the riches that Solomon had. Just as we can see looking at chapter 2, we also understand from passages like 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 3, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So that was, again, some of those things that he looked to in order to try and find joy and meaning in life for the pleasures of this world. Again, we read there that he had just houses and vineyards built, all for him to have something to have joy in. Not only that, but we see that he had many servants and other great possessions, all for him. You know, we read there in verse 10, whatever his eye desired, he did not keep from them. If he wanted it, he went out and he got it. But ultimately, we see what the conclusion was that he said on all of those things in which he accessed was that it was vanity. It ultimately did not amount to anything. Sure, he enjoyed those things. Sure, they provided a moment of joy. But in the end, all of those things that he grasped, that he searched for, that he tried to find happiness in, he couldn't do it. There was no meaning in all of the things in which he possessed. And certainly this idea of pleasure is what many seek in order to find happiness or meaning in their lives. I'm sure we can all think of someone that we know who perhaps spends a lot of their lives looking to gain as much as possible and spend as much as possible so that they can have everything that they possibly want. Oftentimes what comes to mind is when you hear stories about someone who goes out and they win the lottery. You know, they just hit the jackpot, they've got millions of dollars coming in. Oh, they're as happy as can be. You know, nothing in this life could make them happier. And then a few years down the road, you see that same individual, and this time the story you hear of them is a little bit different. Instead of being happy and excited of all the wealth that they accumulated and everything that they gained from that lottery, instead they're miserable. They don't have that wealth anymore. They went, they spent it all, and ultimately all the things that they had from that, it didn't bring them happiness. There was no true joy in those things that they gained. You know, they spent everything that they had in order to find something that would give their life meaning or give their life some sort of joy. And yet in the end, we see those individuals, they don't find it. And truly, that is a sad thing and something that can happen to us if we try and spend our life looking at the pleasures of this world or the things of this world in order to find our happiness. Because as we see with Solomon, who, again, anything that we have is nothing compared to the things that Solomon had. Even he says, the things of this life, it's vanity. It's meaningless. There's no gain from it. So ultimately, we cannot find true happiness or meaning in our life with wealth and pleasures. And one thing to keep in mind, there's nothing inherently wrong with gaining wealth in our lives. You know, if you work hard and you get paid and those things happen, certainly there's nothing wrong if you have accumulated wealth over your life. However, we cannot try and find purpose in our lives and look to that wealth for our joy and our meaning in our lives, because ultimately, it's vanity. We will not find it there. Because again, nothing that any one of us could have would compare to what Solomon had, and yet even he says it gives his life no meaning. Ultimately, what we see is that the things of this world, they're enjoyable for a short period of time. You know, we might be able to obtain something that provides us with a brief moment of joy, a brief moment of happiness, but ultimately, in the end, the things of this stuff, it's vanity. We can't find true meaning or purpose in our life through the stuff that we have. So we move on, and Solomon moves on, and he looks to find something else that may give his life purpose. And another thing that Solomon looks at, or looks to give his life meaning, is he looks to his wisdom. You know, Solomon's thinking, I have this great wisdom that was given to me by God to discover just about anything that there is to be discovered. So I can look to that wisdom, to my knowledge, to my learning, go out and study and learn more things, and that is where I'm going to find true happiness. We look at him saying something similar to that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, I communed with my heart saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. So we see here saying, Solomon steps back and says, hey, look, I have far more wisdom than anyone else here in Jerusalem, than anyone in the world. I've attained a wisdom that people couldn't even fathom. And so certainly he's thinking, I have what I need in order to find true happiness. Certainly this is far better than the riches I could obtain or gain in my life. No, my joy is found through my wisdom. However, with his wisdom, Solomon also figured out that that's not the case. That, again, with that wisdom, he's still just grasping at the wind. There's still no true happiness there in that wisdom. We go a little further in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, this time in verse 17. He says, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So again, in all that knowledge, and all the knowledge that he continued to grow and gain throughout his life, an older Solomon, looking back on a younger Solomon, says, I gained nothing with that wisdom, ultimately. That wisdom didn't give me any true meaning or purpose in my life. According to what we read there, that wisdom just left Solomon wanting more, seeking more wisdom, looking to learn more, and never truly being satisfied with the knowledge that he had. And we see that very same struggle that he had with his pleasures. Another thing that made Solomon realize that this wisdom was pointless was he drew the conclusion that the wise person and the foolish person ultimately have the same end. We go to verse 12 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and it says, then I turn myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king, only what he has already done? Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. so we see there, he looks and he says, well, being wise is so much better than being foolish, obviously. You know, having wisdom, and we can piece that together ourselves, being wise and having wisdom is certainly better than not having wisdom and lacking any sort of wisdom. But then in verse 14 at the end, he says that I perceive that the same event happens to them all. Going further to verse 15, he says, so I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die as the fool? So again, we see kind of the sad conclusions that Solomon's drawing at all of these points as he looks to find joy or meaning in his life in these different areas. This time as he looks in wisdom, he searches and he thinks, okay, I've found something that's truly going to bring me that happiness that I'm seeking and that joy. And it's in all of this wisdom and thinking, look how much better I am than the foolish person because I have this wisdom. But then, through that wisdom, Solomon started figuring out, well, wait a minute. One day I'm going to die. One day I'm going to leave this world. And all that wisdom that I've attained, it's not going to do me any good. I'm going to be just like that foolish man. You know, ultimately, that wisdom is going to be gone, just as what little knowledge the fool may have had left him when he dies. So again, we see kind of these sad conclusions that Solomon's gaining, and he realizes, I'm not going to find purpose in my life through that of wisdom. And like Solomon, many of us, we may seek knowledge to find happiness. Certainly we know many in the world who dedicate their lives to study and to knowledge. We see that with scientists. They're out there seeking and learning and trying to grow in knowledge more and more. However, just like with the physical things of this world, we understand that once we die, all that knowledge means nothing to us. Now, don't misunderstand, just like with the physical things of this world, there's obviously nothing inherently wrong with wisdom. You know, we know through the life of Solomon, that wisdom that was given to him as a gift by God was very beneficial to him throughout his life. It's because of that wisdom Solomon is able to piece together that ultimate conclusion of what will give his life meaning, as we'll look at later. So certainly, wisdom is a good thing to have, and certainly we should strive to gain a knowledge. But ultimately, as far as this life is concerned, that knowledge, in the end, it's vanity. You know, we can't take it with us when we leave this world. So with that in mind, we still want to answer that question. Where is that true happiness? You know, if it's not with the things of this world, it's not with wisdom or anywhere else, where can we find that true happiness in life? Well, it took Solomon many years. It took him till the end of his life. But we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and certainly this is a passage that we all know, but it's so important for us to emphasize and understand this is the only place, this is the only way in which our life truly has meaning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So everything that he's endured, everything that he's thought about, this is the ultimate conclusion of it. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. And we want to emphasize that last part, for this is man's all. Solomon realized that there's nothing on this life that can provide his world meaning. The only thing that can provide meaning in his life is God. He realized fearing God, keeping His commandments, obeying God's will, following God, that's the only thing in which he found gives this life meaning. And for us, that needs to be the conclusion that we draw as well. If we want the things of this life to be meaningful to us, or if we want this life to be meaningful to us, we ultimately have to put God first. That's the only way that this life can truly bring that joy and that true meaning in this life. Again, everything on this earth, ourselves and the earth itself, it's going to die one of these days. Everything comes to an end. All of our physical beings, our lives, the world, And so it's impossible for anything physical to provide fulfillment in our lives since all of those things come to an end. All of those things will one day leave, will perish. You know, we think about it oftentimes with food, but it's not just food. Everything in this life has an expiration date. And so there's nothing in that that can provide meaning or happiness in our lives from that aspect. The only thing that can is God. You know, we can spend our lives seeking out riches or pleasure or knowledge. And again, as I said, individually, some of those things aren't bad inherently. But if we don't look to God and spend our lives focused on God, then we can't obtain true happiness. You know, we understand that God made us to follow Him. You know, we look in Genesis chapter 1, we see God made us from the dust of the ground, made us in His image to follow Him. You know, we are a special creation given that purpose. And so when we're not following that purpose, when we're not putting God first in our lives, there's this God-shaped hole in our hearts. There's something missing in our hearts and in our souls that keep us from finding true joy and true meaning in our lives. And that's what Solomon realized, is in order for his life to obtain meaning, he has to seek God first. You know, Jesus says it very clearly for us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus tells us, seek God first, and everything else will work itself out. But ultimately in our lives, we have to put God first. So, with all of that in mind, what is the meaning of life? You know, that's the question that we've asked, and that's the question that we finally were able to find an answer to. You know, just as it was in Solomon's day, we see the only thing that provides that meaning in our life is God. And without God, our lives are incomplete. We aren't fulfilled. And again, just want to emphasize, this doesn't mean that the things of this world are inherently evil. We know that obviously there are things and actions in this world that are, that violate God's will. But there are many things in this world that aren't inherently evil. But if we put those things above God, our lives will have no meaning. You know, our lives will ultimately be meaningless and pointless, and there's no happiness there. But if we put God first, that's where we'll find our meaning and our happiness and our joy in this life. So let's always remember those key words of Solomon: fear God and keep His commandments. If we will do those things, then we will have that meaning in our lives. As long as we put God first, we can have true happiness no matter what else may happen in this life. If there's anyone here this evening and you've yet to seek God, you've yet to put God first in your life, and by that what I mean is you've yet to put Christ on in baptism, you've yet to fully dedicate your life to Christ and to the one true God, you have that opportunity to do so this evening. Without that dedication, without putting God first, and without putting Christ on in baptism, ultimately, our lives, again, they don't have that true meaning that we need. So if you're here this evening and you've studied, you know, the importance of putting Christ on in baptism, as it says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who believes not will be condemned." If you understand that and you're ready to put Christ on in baptism, we can help you with that this evening. Or maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you failed to put God first in your life. Other things of this world have gotten in the way and you've not lived that faithful Christian life. Or maybe there's something else going on in your life and you need the prayers of the congregation. Well, we can help you with that this evening as well. Just whatever your need may be, let it be made known as we stand.